1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. The Iowa State Legislature overnight passing a bill banning almost all abortions in that state. The procedure would be banned when a fetal heartbeat is detected at about 6 weeks, Republican State Senator Amy Sinclair.
There is no criminal penalty under this bill considered, but a licensed physician must follow Iowa law.
Governor Kim Randall says she'll sign the bill when it hits her desk. The floodwaters receding in Vermont, but rescue crews are still trying to get to people's homes to make sure they're okay. More triple-digit temperatures across the South, with advisories and warnings up for millions.
Heat is the deadliest natural hazard in the U.S., with an average of nearly 1,400 additional deaths each year due to more days over 90 degrees. Scientists say climate change is also triggering more extreme rain events, and about 40% of the world's oceans are experiencing a heat wave.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. This is ABC News. Nearly a week now that a murder suspect has been on the run after escaping a Pennsylvania jail. And ABC's Alex Prochet in Warren County says...
The Warren police chief tells me that there is evidence of an extensive amount of preparation by Burham before this breakout. And authorities now believe that it's possible that he could still be receiving help even now.
Michael Burham, who is also a suspect in an arson and kidnapping, used sheets to make a rope to escape. The reward for information leading to his capture now nearing $20,000. Record rain blamed for the landslide that's eating homes in a Southern California neighborhood. ABC's Matt Gutman is there.
Home after home crumbling into the canyon in the Rolling Hills Estates. A slow-moving disaster that officials say can't be stopped. The ground started shifting Saturday, moving 20 feet in 24 hours.
A dozen homes have been destroyed and more are threatened. Justin Finch, ABC News.
We're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Drive safely, Wisconsin. Highway workers are out on the road. Help them out. Slow down, stay focused, and eliminate distractions. Work zone safety. It's everyone's responsibility.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Dynio Clay Products in Green Bay salutes our emergency first responders. That's law enforcement, firefighters, and medical professionals for their commitment and bravery. They're willing to put their lives on the line for us with little or no thanks. This thank you is from Dynio Clay Products in Green Bay, your brick, stone, and fireplace experts since 1914. You can give them a call at 920-498-8549. You can visit online at gagnonclayproducts.com. They're saying thank you to all of our first responders.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Coming to the greater Green Bay area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Well, thank you very much. Second hour of Mino and the Mayor, of course, is known as the Mayor and Mino. But I'll tell you what, we got a wonderful guest coming on here. But we can't top that first hour with Natalie Eilbert. She is going to be a regular. And we just scratched the surface. She's one of the top poets, literally, in the country. Doing a big signing in downtown Chicago tonight. She lives right here in downtown Green Bay, which is loaded with really interesting people. And it was just an honor to have her on, and we're going to talk to her about a whole bunch of other things. But I just have to get back to one other thing. Earlier today, we were talking about, do all animals swim? Because Jim has the only dog in America that doesn't know how to swim.
And he's learning. He's got lessons, Johnny. He'll learn. Yep.
And I said, well, maybe rabbits don't know how to swim. And then I thought to myself, well, wait a minute. Let me think about that. I think Jimmy Carter got attacked by a rabbit one time in a boat. And you're like, no, I didn't. Where do you come up with stuff like that? That's ridiculous. That's not true. That didn't happen. Okay, well, let me just read this here. President Jimmy Carter was fishing in his hometown of Plains, Georgia in 1979, alone in a flat-bottom boat while staff were on land nearby. Alone. Carter said a rabbit being chased by hounds jumped in the water, swam towards the boat. When he almost got there, I splashed some water with a paddle. The animal was in distress or possibly berserk. So there, the rabbit swam out to his boat.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that, John. I'm the lines were lit up. All right. So now let's get to, and Natalie was great. She's part of our community, but our next guest is also a big part of our community. So Mike Sheedy is just a great family history, and Johnny's going to talk a little bit more about that. I just want to tell you, I just ran into Mike. He was, as you know, I work at the new community shelter, and one of the things that we do there is we serve meals to the community every day at 5 p.m. and on lunch on Saturday and Sunday. And I was there was that Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
Sunday. Okay, so Sunday I was there and I walked in and I saw Mike. I'm like, hey, I know you. And he was there on behalf of the Veterans Court Mentor Program. Is that the official title or what?
Mike Sheedy is our very special guest. Probably should say his name. That would help.
Yes, Mike Sheedy.
But I'm good friend of mine. How you doing, Mike?
How I met him.
Good.
You work... You've done a lot in Green Bay, but the reason you're here is because you lead an organization that helps veterans who go to court, and instead of really getting sentenced, they get some help from
the system. They have a personal mentor.
I work with the Northeast Wisconsin Veterans Treatment Court.
Okay.
Judge Lee Joyce is the judge of our court. When veterans come into the court system, if they're qualified, they come into our Veterans Treatment Court. When they come into the Veterans Treatment Court, they're assigned a mentor. And that mentor works with them an hour a week, once a week for an hour. And they stay with us for 15 to 18 months. So that's how long it takes to get through the Veterans Treatment Court. And you become quite close to the guys that you're mentoring, because like I said, you work with them for 15 to 18 months. The guys that are coming into our court, a lot of them are suffering from PTSD, TBIs, anything that can...
TBI means traumatic brain injury.
A lot of drugs and alcohol get them into the court, but it runs the gamut. Anything that qualifies them to come into our veterans treatment court, they come into our court. And when they're in our court, like I said, they're assigned a mentor that's a volunteer. And all of our mentors are veterans. And so it's kind of like veterans are attracted to veterans.
Right.
So you're assigned a participant. And we're very determined to call them participants because they're there to become part of their own recovery.
Right.
So they work with the Brown County, Troy Strickenbach, and the county board are very supportive of our veterans treatment court. Joe Aulick, the Brown County service officer, is very supportive. Joe was just on the show here a couple
few days ago. One of our first guests.
Yeah, he's a great guy. The VA works with them. We get them lined up with their VA benefits that a lot of them didn't know they had coming.
Right.
We get them lined up with, we try to help them if they get to the point where we help them find jobs if they need. We try to encourage them to go to DC to school or to GB. We try to get them lined up with their VA benefits, like I said, or educational benefits. Anything we can do to help them and get them back up on their feet.
But Mike, these guys are in court, right? So they, I mean, Joe came in here and really explained a lot of the opportunities to, not enough people take advantage of their benefits. I mean, it was like he said, under 50%, like 48, 49%. And, but I want to talk about your lane in veterans, in helping veterans.
So you are a veteran.
You come from a family of veterans.
Yes.
We've got to just segue just a little bit about your dad. That is such an incredible story. And tell us about him, and Johnny can jump in too, because he wrote about him.
Yeah. My dad was a World War II veteran. He fought in New Guinea. And he was in the 32nd Division.
Red Arrow.
Yep, Red Arrow. And my dad was... had, like you guys said, we come from a family of veterans. He had five brothers. All six of them served. My mother had four brothers. Two of them served. One of them, my mom's brother, spent about 3 years in prison of war camp in Germany. We were shot down on a B-17. So I've had numerous cousins that have served in the service, a lot of cousins and family members that have served in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And stuff. So military service runs pretty deep in our family.
Well, you were basically in Vietnam.
Yeah, I was over there for 14 months. I would made two cruises, two Westpacs over to Vietnam. I was there in 72, and then we were there from the last 6 months of the war. Our ship was involved.
You were involved in one of the very last combat situations in the Vietnam War.
Yeah. Yeah, the ship I was on was involved in the evacuation of Saigon. We watched Saigon be evacuated. And also the ship I was on was involved in, I think it was the last battle of Vietnam. Mm-hmm.
It was the last casualties, American.
The last Mayaguez incident.
Right.
When the Cambodian pirates, or whatever they were, took over a commercial ship, and ourselves and a couple other ships went in and rescued the guys.
And some were killed before anybody knew it was happening.
Yeah, we had guys that none of the guys that were on the commercial ship were killed or injured.
No, the guys on the island.
Right.
Because they didn't know they were there or something, right?
Well, part of it was they had left, they had pulled the guys off the island, and then they sent a bunch of Marines in to rescue them, and they didn't know they were gone. So a bunch of them, on the way in, some of the Marine helicopters got shot down. So they lost guys there. And they lost guys on the island in the fight. And then when they evacuated the island, a couple of the guys got left behind.
Right.
So it was it was intense.
Yeah, and you look at, and our previous guest talked a little bit about mental health and just some of the struggles. And you know, no one has really experienced, you know, that kind of trauma. But people in this community, I want to get back to just this whole Veterans Court, and I think it's incredible what you do, and I want to get our listeners to learn more about this. So a veteran in this community finds himself in a little bit of trouble, and they get sent to court, right? And they go before Judge Lee Joyce is who you're using, or Kelly?
Correct.
Okay.
Wait, Judge Kelly was the first judge when we started out.
A veteran.
Kendall Kelly, a veteran. And then Judge Zeidmalder was a judge, and now it's Judge Lee Joyce.
Okay.
Judge Lee Joyce is also a veteran. He was in Judge Advocate
okay.
Division.
Do they have the option to go to you, or do you step in? Tell me the process a little bit.
In order to be qualified for the court, if they end up in the, there's a criteria that they have to meet to become qualified for the court. If they have, the best way to go about it is if they have an attorney, is to have their attorney contact the district attorney's office, and then if they have a public defender, most of the time it's John Herman. He's the one that takes care of veterans. And then he knows the whole process. They have to go through a process to become admitted into the court. And if they're qualified to come into the court and they're willing to take 15 to 18, like I said, it takes 15 to 18 months. And it's 15 to 18 months of pretty intense stuff. They start out, they have to be drug and alcohol free the whole time. They do 2 to 3 UAs a week. They have to meet with their mentor once a week. They have to make all their appointments. No excuses.
What would the option be?
The option is a
jail.
It is.
Or prison.
Yeah.
Right. And that, oh my God, to reward a veteran with prison, right? I mean, think.
Right.
And so you guys.
Well, okay, let me just jump one quick second. To back up, I hate to say this, but it's the honest to goodness truth. A lot of alcohol issues. I know drugs too, but a lot of the people I know have serious alcohol problems when they come back.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Which leads to so many other issues.
Yeah, at least a lot of issues. We've had guys in the court for, like I said, the whole gamut of stuff they can be involved in. The biggest part of it is either drugs or alcohol. Alcohol is a big part of it. So we get them lined up with treatment. We're big into treatment. We've taken guys. The mentors have transported guys to Toma. We've transported guys to the Dom down in Milwaukee. And as a mentor, we always tell the guys, if you need a ride, if you're gonna have to get to an appointment or something, call your mentor. Your mentor will help you work out a problem, work out the problems, get you there. You know, it's not that we're not babysitters, we're not anything else, but we're there to support one another. We're a veteran supporting a veteran.
Right. So this mentorship program is very, very strong, and like you said, it's very accountable. Besides being a veteran and a good guy, have you been trained in this, or how for the judge to really say, look, I'm not going to send you to jail, I'm going to put you into this program that you just explained to us. Tell me a little bit about you, and how do you have enough mentors? Do you have enough people in your organization to help with the Veterans Court?
At the present time, we're okay as far as mentors go. We have, I believe it's 8 participants in the court right now. And what we found out has worked out really well the last period of time is we've doubled the mentors up. You know, so if with the smaller number of participants that we have now, if we double the mentors up, then they get the input from 2 guys. You know, that
nice.
They get the ability to have a couple of guys help them out.
Beautiful. We want to talk more about that. Again, I want to talk a little bit more about your dad's situation in World War II. It's just an extraordinary story and just amazing. And I've interviewed several hundred World War II veterans, and his sticks out in my mind as vividly as any.
Yeah, he was a pretty tough old boy.
He certainly was.
And we got another one here with Mike Sheedy. We'll be right back. WGBW, 1590 AM, 97.9 FM.
Back after this.
The Talk of Green Bay.
Flowers and my love hope never to come back.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us, We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs level off around 74 today under overcast skies with a chance for scattered storms. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows level off around 61. Overcast. A mix of clouds and sun. Tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 78. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday and Saturday. Low 80s Friday, mid 80s by Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 60.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On WGBW.
Welcome back to Marin Mino here on WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM for all those folks listening down on the lakeshore in the Manitowoc. Two rivers, right. Whitelaw, Francis Creek, Cleveland.
He just rattles those off, doesn't he, Mike? I grew up there, and I can't name half
Clark
communities.
Mills.
But,
all those bars. We're at Mike Sheedy. Mike is a very big advocate. Mike, a veteran himself of the United States Navy, very big advocate for Veterans Court here in Green Bay, which is a wonderful program. Mike, I don't know if you heard us talking earlier, but I mentioned I personally know five veterans that have committed suicide over the last few years. And, you know, sometimes, and there's a you know, I mentioned the alcohol problems, but sometimes there's something that triggers the alcohol issue or drug issues. There's marital problems. There's marital issues. There's guys that got over-prescribed with painkillers. There's post-traumatic stress. There's a traumatic brain injuries, which is much like the best way to describe the traumatic brain injuries and what it does to people. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but it's almost like with CTE in pro football, right, where you get these brain injuries and there's no real symptoms, but it just changes a person. Right. And those, so, I mean, there's a myriad. There's not an easy solution. You can't just say, well, just do this and boy, those problems are gone. There are so many different things that come into play with this, and many times they need, like I use the term battle buddy, but if they don't have somebody, and like I said, with the marital problems, there's, like, I know two guys for a fact, once they got divorced, they just kind of lost their rudder, so to speak, and got in with the wrong crowd, and bad things happened. So Mike, I think it's great that you guys, if nothing else, and I know the legal aspect of it, what you guys are doing is to, you know, help them out, but just the fact that they've got somebody they can call, that, right, they can talk to, that can understand them, that I think is as important as any. I think somebody like you who's not trained to be a professional psychiatrist or whatever, but I think having somebody like you is in some ways more beneficial for these guys and women. We may add that.
Exactly.
And women than we realize.
That's very true. The guys, when they come into our court, they're kind of lost.
Yes, that's what I mean, yep.
And we help them find our way back. We get them reacquainted with their families. Family support, a lot of guys are, if they've lost it all.
Yep.
Then the whole Veterans Treatment Court done it. There's a ton of people out there that are willing to help these guys. And we just try to work with them as much as we can. We've had one guy that, when we have our graduation ceremonies, the guys come up there and they're able to give a little bit of a speech when they do their graduation ceremony. And one of the guys came up there and he had a nice suit on, a nice shirt, tie, vest. And he was all dressed. And he said, he came up and he started to explain his story. He said, this is the suit I was going to be buried in.
Right.
He said, I had this suit all picked out. I was going to commit suicide. And he said, and this is the suit I wanted to be buried in. And that, He said, now because of Veterans Treatment Court, he said, I have my wife back. I have my family back. My children have a father again. My wife has a husband. And he said, I was able to turn my whole life around because of this.
That is incredible. That has got to, I mean, that's a rewarding life for you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I've been to some of those graduations, and everybody gets choked up there. These are tough guys who did, right?
And women, though. I always want to make sure
you're right.
People don't understand how many women have suffered from things and how many women served, you know, on the front lines in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Exactly. It's a completely different. Those guys, when they're in Iraq, Afghanistan, the whole time they were there, they're on.
Yeah.
From the time they get off the plane till the time to get back on the plane to come home, they're on. Right. They never have a chance to get to relax or because they're on. There's
decompress.
They never know. They never know what's
next.
What's coming next? Where are they coming at?
You could be
at
sleeping
them?
In your tent, and a rocket comes over, and you don't wake up.
Game over.
Yep.
And, right. They, you know, so those guys, and we've had a couple of women that just have graduated lately. One of them, when she came into our court, Tom Hinz and I, we talked about Tom before. We're having a conversation. We thought we were going to lose her. We didn't think we were going to be able to help her because we thought we were going to lose her. But we worked with her, and she bought in. She finally got it to the, and then she bought in. What she did is she took every one of her mugshots that she got from when she first got arrested till she, and they kept on getting worse and worse and worse. And her mugshots got worse and worse and worse.
That told the story right there, huh?
And she pulled them all up, and she looked at them all, and she said, because we thought we were going to lose her. But she finally turned that corner. And then she got herself squared away. She bought herself a house. She had just had a new son. She bought a really good vehicle. She's giving back to the community. All that stuff happened because she was in Veterans Treatment Court, and she was able to turn her whole life around because she went from somebody that had one of the Green Bay police officers that works with the court was chasing her around trying to arrest her in a store, and they finally got her. Put her in jail, then she ended up in jail. And it wasn't a few months later that same officer was over at her house, at her new home that she had bought because of her, she got squared away at her veterans benefits and everything else. He was over there and helped her set up a crib for her baby.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So those are pretty powerful stories.
Exactly.
They
exactly.
Are. And tell me, so John was mentioning, you know, our listening audience, and does Oshkosh, Marinette, and obviously here in the city of Green Bay, but are these veterans courts something that are available throughout Northeast Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's a good question.
There's 72 counties in the state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
I believe there's 13 veterans treatment courts. Okay. My personal opinion is every county should have a veterans treatment court.
Absolutely. There's veterans in every county, right, Mike?
Yeah, exactly. There's veterans all over the whole state. And it's too many of our guys fall through the cracks. They don't get the help. They're crying out for help, and they don't get it. Not all of our guys that qualify for the veterans treatment court make it either. We've lost guys.
Right. I understand.
We're going to send for a quick break. But sure. I want to follow up on that as soon as. So hold that thought.
Okay.
Because we want to follow up on that. About the stigma sometimes guys have about asking for help.
Very true.
We got a hit on that. The Mayor and Mino right here on WGBW 97.9 FM with Mike Sheedy from the Veterans Court. Very, very compelling information coming your way, Mike. If there's any veterans out there listening or anybody that knows veterans that need help, please let us know. 264-0606, 264-0606 if you'd like to talk to Mike. And we'll be back right after this.
Talk to Green Bay.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. The Iowa State Legislature overnight passing a bill banning almost all abortions in that state. The procedure would be banned when a fetal heartbeat is detected at about 6 weeks, Republican State Senator Amy Sinclair.
There is no criminal penalty under this bill considered. But a licensed physician must follow Iowa law.
Governor Kim Reynolds says she'll sign the bill when it hits her desk. The floodwaters receding in Vermont, but rescue crews are still trying to get to people's homes to make sure they're okay. More triple-digit temperatures across the South, with advisories and warnings up for millions.
Heat is the deadliest natural hazard in the U.S., with an average of nearly 1,400 additional deaths each year due to more days over 90 degrees. Scientists say climate change is also triggering more extreme rain events, and about 40% of the world's oceans are experiencing a heat wave.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. This is ABC News.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
It feels like they're trying to pit the teachers against the parents, and all of us can come together to say, look, stop trying to, you know, divide and conquer and work with us. And they're still trying to hide and say, well, the JFC cut it. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can vote for the amendment to continue child care counts.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
He said, son, have you seen the world? Well, what would you say if I said that you could just carry this gun? You'll even get paid. I said that sounds.
Welcome back to Marin Mino here on WGBW 97.9 FM 1590 AM. Our phone number, we're going to open the lines 920-264-0606. If anybody would like to know more about the Veterans Court, which really goes out of its way to help veterans that are find themselves in trouble in a whole variety of different ways. And we've got Mike Sheedy here, who's one of the mentors of the Veterans Court, which is a really, really great organization. A good friend of ours, Jim Tom Hintz, is the gentleman that really got this thing started. Boy, it's got to be at least 10 years, isn't
yeah,
it, Mike?
About 10 years.
About 10 years ago.
And this Veterans Court, and we were talking about the graduations, and it's, look, you end up in court, and no one wants to be in court, and, you know, the judge traditionally, it's, well, this is what's going to happen. You go to prison for this or that, and the option here in Brown County and in 12 other counties in the state, and we have 72 counties, so we need this program in all 72 counties eventually. But here in Brown County, the judge, through the attorney and through this program, may assign this veteran to the Veterans Court. And this is a wraparound service that Mike leads, and it's a mentoring program. And it's strict. Can I say that?
It's really strict because if they...
But I think sometimes they need that.
Yeah, they need to be they need structure back in their life. When they first come into the court, there's five phases in the court. The first phase, they come once a week to court. The second phase is every other week. Third phase is once every third week. And then the fourth phase, they come just once a month. So as they progress through the court,
right,
they're given different responsibilities through the court. And if they miss a test and don't have a valid reason, or if something happens or anything else, there is consequences. They're giving us written assignments first when it starts out, and if that doesn't seem to catch the behaviors change that we're looking for, they'll get orange themed weekends where they get to go out to the Brown County Jail and spend a weekend in jail.
That'll open their eyes, huh?
Yeah, and the biggest share of them have been there. They
don't want to go back.
They don't want to go back. So and it's on the guys. One thing about the court is the court never, we don't ever give up on anybody. We stay behind them as much as we can. Right. It's one veteran never gives up on another one. But also, if they end up getting out of court, it's they have done the actions to get themselves removed from the court. We never remove them. They end up always removing themselves through their consequences of their actions. And if they just can't buy into the program, you know, there's a lot of services that they're affiliated with. And if the services aren't helping, we'd just as soon spend them on another veteran.
Right.
Now, Mike, go ahead, Jim.
We have this in Brown County. You have eight people in your program now, and you help people throughout the year. You've been around for, like you said, 10 years. So the people who are listening, I mean, financial support. I mean, Johnny and I are really trying to bring more awareness to the community on all the things going on here. Like the lady on earlier was literacy. We're talking someone tomorrow. We're going to talk about some of the opiates and fentanyl that's in the community. And there's a lot of good things going on too. There's a lot of festivals. But how can people, you know, they're learning about you today. Any help from the layperson?
We have a 501(c).
Awesome.
And we do have, we're doing okay financially with our veterans. With any of the money we spend on our veterans. We, like I said, if they need help, we've loaned guys money, put them on a payment plan. We had one guy helped him put a roof on his house. Right. We have another guy, if they need work done in their car, you know, mm-hmm. we'll help them do that. We put on a payment plan, we have them pay us back. You know, we don't charge them any interest, but we have the ability to help the guys out. We help them if they need furniture when they move into an apartment, because, you know, that's one thing that we do need. One area where we kind of struggle is finding accommodation apartments and stuff or homes for our veterans.
You know, is the new Veterans First organization, is that going to be a big help?
Yeah. And matter of fact, Gail Norris, she's also one of our mentors.
Okay. I know Gail.
Yeah. So And that'll be helpful. Out by the clinic, veteran housing out there, we've had numerous guys staying out there.
Right.
But the biggest thing is we get guys that especially guys with families. You know, they have a hard time finding apartments or houses to rent. That's okay. one area that where we struggle.
You know, another thing that I'm kind of an advocate for is because I was working with the Veterans Village, obviously, which, you know, is an apartment complex in Appleton and those types of things, but when I was in real estate, and I had so many young veterans, you know, looking for their first home, and it was so impossible for me. I mean, you got the VA loans, which are great and everything like that, but, you know, when they don't have any equity built up in any way or serious credit or anything like that. And I remember talking to some vets when I embedded one of the years over in Iraq, I think it was, and two of the guys were like, "Hey, Mr. Minor, we just re-upped and we got like a $20,000 bonus or whatever." I say, "Hey, that's phenomenal. Want to see what we're spending it on?" And one had a Harley, one had a F-150 truck. And it's like, you know, at my age, in the 50 years old at the time or whatever it was, oh, my God, what I would give to have somebody hand me $20,000 to put in the bank and do whatever versus putting it towards something that you're going to get no value down the road. Yeah. And I really worked hard as I could for some of these veterans, these young veterans, to get that first home so that you got an investment now. I mean, apartments are great, but you know, there's no long-term gain. And that home ownership, I think, is such a thing of pride when somebody has that first. And I wish there was a way. In fact, I'm trying to work on a way to take care of to alleviate some of that problem around here.
I always tell the guys that I work with in court, when they finally get an apartment, whether it's an apartment, a duplex, whatever it is, and first time in a long time, they have a home.
Yes.
Their kids can come to dad's house, or mom's house. They can come to home.
Yeah.
You know, kids are very reticent to come to be bouncing around.
Right.
They want some place where they can establish a place. Right. You know, if I left my toy here, when I come back to see dad again, my toy is going to be right there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's a huge part of it.
Right.
With our guys.
When you've got that place, that means so much.
You can go home.
Exactly. That's a starting point.
Yes, it is.
It's a home base.
And Mike, I want to talk a little bit about the graduations because it is a process. It's 18 months that these people commit to you and you obviously commit to them. These men and women who the option is not good. The option is county jail or the state. These graduations, are these open to the public? I think see that. I think people, those are so moving. And I sometimes go to those things and, you know, there's not a lot of people. And I wish that would be on the news instead of some.
Yeah, the community support for graduations would be great. Because to see what to see where the effort that these guys are putting in to change their lives. They really are. They're putting a lot of effort in. We've had guys in the past that have gotten married in veterans treatment court. We've had, like I said, we've had other guys that have come into court, like I said, lost, and they found their way. There's so many things that have happened.
All right.
You let us know more about that.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's something we got to put on our website is these
graduations. We want to stay in close contact with you, Mike. We want to really get this out there in the community, the veterans court, what it does for people. Because I think it saves lives.
Yeah, I believe it does too. I mean, like I said, these guys, and I keep on saying this, but they come into our court lost.
Yeah.
They really do. And they're trying to find their way and they're stumbling around and stuff. And they don't know what to do. Here they're with the friendship that you develop with the mentors. And also with the mentors, they have some place to vent. They can vent to us where they can. They know there's not going to be any ramifications from it. One of the guys I work with, I always tell them, you can say whatever you want to me and everything else, and it stays between us.
Right.
Unless you're talking about hurting yourself or hurting somebody else, then we're obligated to say something. But other than that, you know, sometimes they just need somebody they can vent to get stuff out of their system where they can't vent it to anybody else.
And a thing right before we went to break, I mentioned about the stigma that many of them have in regards to like, hey, I'm this tough guy. I had this unbelievable training. I might have been a ranger or a paratrooper or whatever, a marine, and you know, all this hardcore, you know, macho image that they build themselves up to, that they feel like it's a sign of weakness if all of a sudden, now I need help.
Right, exactly. You know, and we have to look at this. Iraq, Afghanistan, most of those guys have been over there 3 or 4 times. You can't keep sending these guys back over there to these hell holes and then come back and say, okay, here you go, boys. Now you're back in the real world here. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. It don't happen like that.
And I'll tell you what I think was the worst thing that our government did to our troops for a long time is when they had, the stop loss where guys were basically marking it off on their calendar. Okay, 62 more days, 54 more, and then we'll get down to like about 11 days. It's like, oh, by the way, you're staying here another 6 months.
Yeah.
Wow. That destroyed some guys.
Yeah, it did. And not only that, we can't keep on having, get on my soapbox here for a minute, we can't keep on having old people sending young people off to die. You know, we can't have these decade-long wars anymore. We can't, the young people, they're doing all the fighting. They're doing all the dying. They're paying for decades of it afterwards. We can't keep on. If we're going to go someplace, we go there. We figure out before we go exactly what we're going to do. As soon as we accomplish what we want to do, we pick up our toys and we come home.
Yeah.
We've got to quit trying to, you know, 20 years under Iraq, Afghanistan, all the years at Vietnam. We ended up pulling out of Vietnam. I mean, I've watched the evacuation of Vietnam. Then here on TV, I watched the evacuation of Afghanistan.
I know.
It is just, it was just bizarre.
I've got a guy that was a gunner on a Marine. He's a Marine. He's actually in my book. And he was flying around seeing those, and it was just heartbreaking. And they were, he was actually, the ship, he was, I can't remember the name of the ship, but it was where some of the South Vietnamese officers would be flying helicopters with their families and trying to land in these ships and like even jumping off, the crashing them into the ocean and hoping they'd be pulled up and things like that. And when he saw what was happening in the chaos of Afghanistan, he said he had such terrible memories, flashbacks, whatever you want to call it. You can't believe it. He said, oh, my gosh, we did it again.
Yeah, the exact same thing. We ended up losing all, leaving behind all those people that we evacuated. When we evacuated Saigon, we abandoned the people that had helped us. Did the same thing in Afghanistan. We abandoned a bunch of people that helped us. You know, we're still, and it, neither one of them were good. I mean, it's just, it's kind of a black mark.
Well, we had a guy in here a couple of weeks ago who, he was Hmong.
Right.
And his grandfather fought for the Americans, you know, helped down pilots and things like that. And when the family had to evacuate, they literally had to escape through the jungle across the Mekong River, being chased by the North Vietnamese because they were now considered the enemy because they'd helped the Americans. And they got to a crossing, and the grandfather...
Lost his grandfather.
He said he's going to go look for the guy that was going to help them across the river, Mekong River. And he went, and they heard some gunshots, but they were afraid to even go look to see what happened because then they would be ambushed too. And they never saw their grandfather again. And they just had to try to cross the river and just, and I mean, and again, he said they were just, he was fine about it as far as, you know, he didn't hold animosity, but they were just abandoned after helping us.
And that's unfortunate, right? It's a great country. It's not a perfect country. We haven't done everything right, but you don't abandon people. And I think that's why you're here, right? I mean, this Veterans Court, you will stick with them as long as you need to, that they don't have to go and, through the they go through the court system, but they don't go. They have an option when it comes to look your sentence. Your sentence can be in the Brown County Jail. It can, but or else you can join the veterans, your organization to really help these people. And I hope people go to your graduations to really, because nobody speaks more powerful about what the Veterans Court does than the graduates.
Exactly, 100%. Those guys tell some really
Could you
tough
get one
stories.
Of them in here for us?
Sure.
Okay, and we don't even have to use his real name.
Right.
Or her real name. It would just be, you know, Joe Smith or whatever.
We're, we're good about that. But yes. I just think, again, Johnny and I are really trying to lean into the community on what's available here. And we talk about a lot of happy stuff, Art Fest and some other things, EAA. But
dogs that don't know how to swim?
Well, a little bit.
Do you have a dog, Mike?
Yeah.
Does he know how to swim?
Miss Ivy Lynn has never been in the water, so I'm sure she knows how to swim.
Well, thank you.
How do you know that? You got to get him lessons.
Your dog's name is Miss Ivy Lynn?
Yes.
We got to hook up Miss Ivy Lynn with Milton. What would that produce? Wow. What kind of a dog, Mike?
Bichon.
Bichon.
I used to have Bichons.
I had one, too.
Miss Ivy Lynn. Don't you think Miss Ivy Lynn would, that name would fit with Milton?
Yes, it would.
That sounds a little
uppity. It would. That's the most yuppie arrangement ever in dog world. Mike, I want you to stick around. I've been promising we need to talk about your dad's experiences in World War II.
All right, Mike.
We didn't get
a
chance.
Break.
We got one more break and then one more segment. We don't want to let you go yet. I know we're going to
this summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies today with a chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 74. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows level off around 61. Cloudy, partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. High of 78. Low 80s Friday with a chance for scattered storms. Chance for scattered rain showers on Saturday. Highs in the mid 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 61.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
On WGBW.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes.
Hey, welcome back to the Mayor and Mino here on 97.9 FM, WGBW Green Bay's Radio Talk. We're here with Mike Sheedy in our last segment here talking about the Veterans Court. Mike, beautiful, wonderful work you're doing with them and great, great, great information you're giving us today. But like I said, our relationship started when I met your dad.
Correct.
I think you're the one that put me on to him, right? Contacted me because you know I was interviewing World War II veterans.
No, you saw an article that he had about him that was in the paper.
Okay.
And then when you saw the article, then somehow you got hooked up with my mom.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, Jim, his dad was in the 32nd Division, Red Arrow Division, I still think is the most underrated unit in all of World War II. And I mean that seriously, because what they were sent to, they were all local guys, National Guardsmen, who basically joined the National Guard so that they could drill once a month and get like about $2 per drill, and beer was a nickel, and that's what they would do afterwards. Mm. And I mean, it was just unbelievable what they had to go through. Then they were sent down to the Louisiana maneuvers, which was really tough.
Yeah.
Really tough. Rattlesnakes and coral snakes and just scorpions and crazy stuff. And then they thought they were going to be sent to Europe. They had their winter clothes, basically. And they were on the train going to New York or Massachusetts, I forget. And they literally, MacArthur had them turn the train around, send them to California, put them on ships, sent them to the worst hellhole on the face of the earth, New Guinea, which is just north of Australia. The Japanese had their Imperial Army, their cream of the crop, because Japan was getting ready to overtake Australia. And if they had overtaken Australia, it would be an entirely different world right now. Okay, they would have controlled the entire thing. They sent these kids from Wisconsin and Michigan into New Guinea to fight in the most deplorable conditions humanly possible and somehow chase the Japanese out. Mike's dad, Irvin,
correct,
was on a patrol. They got ambushed. They all got wounded, and he was severely wounded. He was paralyzed, and the Japanese were going around murdering the survivors, the wounded survivors, as they were looking for your dad.
Yeah. Wow. My dad had pulled the bodies over the top of himself. He hid out there a couple of days before somebody could come out there to rescue him. And when he came home, as many of the World War II vets did, he didn't talk about it a lot. Matter of fact, we didn't, as the five of us, didn't really know. We knew he had been in the service because he had joined the VFW. He was one of the founding members of the Suamico VFW post. Excuse me. But we didn't know how involved he was until my older sister had gone. They were talking about World War II in school, and all these kids were bringing in these articles, and they were about our dad. And we didn't know that any of those articles were out there because he never really talked about it.
That's amazing.
His story was so big that it was in a national magazine.
Right.
It was almost like a World War II, I hate to say the word comic book, but it was an action comic book type thing. His dad's story was in it from like 1947 or something, right?
Right.
Exactly. I mean, it was a national worldwide story.
I believe that. That's incredible what he did.
They did all kinds of, they wrote different books about dad and everything else.
Did he get more comfortable, Mike, as life went on?
Not until he got towards the end, he started. And when John came out to interview him that day, he almost called to cancel the interview because he wasn't feeling good or something. But then he said, no, he said, people really need to hear these stories.
Right. Yeah.
You need to hear these stories. So that's when towards the end, he started getting more vocal about it and stuff and telling more of his story. But I mean, from the time he was wounded and 42 until the day he died. He was in pain every day, all day, every day. He was in pain.
Well, how long was he hospitalized, Mike? I don't remember.
About almost 2 years. That's over 2 years in Walter Reed Hospital.
Yeah.
And when we didn't know it, but on his discharge after Dad died shortly after John interviewed him. And when we were looking at his discharge, it said on his discharge, and he had said this over the years, that they told him not to make any long-term plans, the doctors, when he left the hospital, because they didn't think he was going to live very long. Well,
how many kids later?
Yeah, right. That was.
Those are tough guys.
He was tough, and he was not going to give anybody a chance to try to tell him what to do. He was not he's not very good at getting anybody to tell him what to do.
Can I tell you one quick funny story from the day I interviewed him? He was laying on the couch,
sure,
and everything, but he was great. I mean, to interview and everything, and he yelled out to your mom, like, her first name,
Martha.
What? I need some medicine. Which one? Whiskey.
Yeah,
that of them.
Yeah, he was. So he was great. He was a powerful man.
He
yeah.
certainly was.
And
tough
Mike,
breed.
I want to end with, we're going to run against the clock again. The Veterans Court helping them, but I want you to talk a little bit more about your engagement with the youth in the community and educating them. They don't know these stories, and to hear them first person is pretty powerful.
Yeah, I worked at Bayview Middle School. That's where I worked for the Howard Simon School District. I retired as a building custodian. Mm. And after I retired, I wanted to stay involved. So I got to, myself and some of the teachers, one house of kids, we go, that's about 110 kids and the staff members. Every spring and every fall, we go to the Suamico Community Cemetery. We go out there and we go out and we clean up the cemetery. And in the fall, we rake all the leaves, clean it all up and everything else. And we sweep off all the headstones. And then in the spring, we go back, we do the same thing. We plant some plants in the planters that are the veterans marker out in the front of the cemetery. And we make sure the flagpole is, everything is all set up, mm-hmm, and everything else. And the kids come out there and they're 7th and 8th graders. So 13, 14-year-old kids. They come out there and they're incredibly industrious, they're incredibly respectful, and they're really inquisitive. They enjoy reading the headstones. They enjoy coming around, being around in the cemetery. So we're out there about 2 hours. At the end of the 2 hours, some of them start getting a little squirrely, but they're also 13 and 14-year-old kids. And some of them, that's the first time they've ever been in a cemetery. Right. The last spring, we had one little girl. She wanted to make sure that she was assigned to the part of the cemetery where her dad was, because she wanted to be the one that was there to take care of her dad's headstone.
Wow. Beautiful.
And that's really powerful stuff when you're out there. And these kids are really, they're really respectful.
Yeah. And look at all you're teaching them in that 2 hours in the cemetery, right? History,
right.
Respect. And yeah, people, they just need to know that we're here not by happenstance, right? There are a lot of people that did a lot of things to give us the community and this country that we have. And just thank you for what you're doing for the youth. Thank
Sincerely,
you for that
Mike.
Veterans Court, Mike. And I know you said there's veterans courts in 13 out of the 72 counties. And that's maybe something we can work on, but together. But, we just, when I saw you the other day, I'm like we got to get you on the show.
Awesome.
This is great what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate it. I really do.
Yeah. God bless you. And
anything we could do for you guys, please let us know, Mike.
I sure will.
Sincerely.
Thank you, guys.
You've been awesome. Thank you for your service to our country.
Enjoy your coins.
I certainly will. Thank you so very much.
It's great.
Mike Sheedy, Veterans Court, outstanding mentor, outstanding American citizen. We're out of time. They're playing our song, buddy.
Yeah, they are.
Great day. Fun day, wasn't it?
This is awesome.
Natalie.
I just love it.
Albert was just phenomenal. We're going to even try to bring her back in tomorrow. We've got a very special guest tomorrow, Sandra Rank. Talked about the opium problems throughout the area. She lost a son tragically to it, and
then
very brave, tough woman.
I just want to say on Friday we pivot to music. So I just
living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV